part of the role of the judge is not just to give out sentences, but it's also to make sure that there is respect for the legal system in the country and that people will choose that as the mechanism by which they want to see some form of justice. And we rely on judges to back that up. And if a message is coming out, as in this case, where it almost seems like the perpetrator or the defendant in the case is the one who is the only person being considered, then it does kind of bring into question what is the purpose of the legal system. Like, the impact of any crime is much broader than just in terms of the perpetrator. It impacts on the victim, it impacts on society, it impacts on anybody who's connected with that victim, and it impacts on the perpetrator's family. So the sentence has to reflect and be meaningful to all of those players. It is not just about an individual perpetrator.
And comments too, like, he has a long way to fall, as if because he would have some celebrity that it should make any difference in terms of sentencing.
Well, absolutely not. I mean, at the end of the day, your choice over a crime, you know, there are consequences. Everybody has all of that. And yes, in the media, there might be a long way to fall. But also, we also know people can rise pretty quickly again. You know, when things are in the media and in the headlines, there will be a walk away from certain people, but then they'll quickly come back again. You can't bring that into account in any sentencing. And it's certainly not a mitigating factor. I mean, he used that authority in that position to be able to get access to victims. That's, you know, that should not be a mitigating factor in his favour in relation to sentencing. It should actually go against him.
And I think we should spare a thought too for his daughter, who came across these text messages as on an old phone and made a very brave decision, I think. A very brave decision, and I think we should ask ourselves how many of us would do what she did.
Absolutely, and the family supported her on that. And I think the fact that, yeah, I mean, people don't realise how emotionally stressful it is going through a court proceeding. You know, to take, whether you're the victim or you're a witness, to go forward through any of that process is highly stressful. And it's not something that people undertake lightly. It's something we find very difficult to encourage people to do. And there has to be recognition of the effort that they've put in. And they do it because they believe that there is a bigger purpose here, that what they're doing is going to have an overall impact and a change in society. And that's the role, again, of the judge, to uphold that and to make sure that that happens. And then to give a lenient sentence like this is really kind of going against that message to some extent. And that's quite dangerous, I think, in terms of supporting the legal process.
Maybe, Doctor, you could explain to us the charge of defilement and its significance in this case, or its meaning, sorry, in this case. It's incredibly significant, do not get me wrong. But the terminology being used.
Yeah, and I'm not a legal expert in any way, because as far as I understand, really, I mean, defilement is just the technical term that we would probably on the ground refer to it as statutory rape, but defilement is the technical term that's used in legislation. But what is interesting, the sentencing is linked to the level of authority that the perpetrator had over the victim. And the judge in this case obviously was talking about a maximum 5-year sentence, which would imply that the perpetrator had no real connection to the victim, and that wasn't the case. He had a position of authority, so the maximum sentence available to her should have been within the 10-year bracket as a starting point. And I'm not really clear enough in relation to her thinking on that case as to why she chose to go for the lesser one in the first place.
In explaining the leniency of her sentence, the judge said she was taking his previously high-profile position into account.
And as far as I'm concerned, that's not a mitigating factor. It shouldn't have been brought into play. You know, she has a very small sentence to work with. It's only 5 years. There shouldn't really have been any mitigating circumstances. He didn't admit to this crime in the early stages. He forced the victim and the family to go through the whole trial process.
It was a late admission. It's very important to. And there is another. There were further allegations of a similar nature in Dublin and in Letterkenny in 2007, which were dropped. And it has to say that the DPP did drop them, and the suspicion being because of not enough evidence, or, you know, too difficult to prove, but they were dropped, which is... So when you hear people like Eamon Dunphy, who decided, he's an intelligent person, he decided to go on... I don't know if you heard his comments, did you?
I read the comments in the paper.
Okay, so I didn't want to sort of ambush you on that. But in some way, you know, to say it's the right type of sentence and all that kind of thing, it's. Do you think it's wrong?
Yeah, I don't think it's a problem. I mean, I can understand that people, at the end of the day, anybody who is friendly with somebody and then you suddenly discover the crime, and I do understand, you know, that Eamon has changed his position slightly in relation to the to the case. But to acknowledge...
Is that overnight? Sorry, Mary.
Well, no, but I think initially when he was saying he went to visit him, he was declaring that he didn't actually know the nature of the crime.
Okay, I get you. I understand.
Now he obviously does fully understand. He's not a legal expert either, and he obviously doesn't work in this area, and he hasn't considered the impact of this crime on anybody else. He's looking at it purely as a response to his friend, which on a personal capacity he has a right to have an opinion on. But then to use his position of authority to push that as being, that's something that we should all take on board, that's not appropriate either. I mean, he has to be open to the fact that this crime is far bigger than just his friendship. You know, this has a huge impact on victims of sexual violence coming forward. And, you know, we want to see here a model of leadership coming from the judge. We don't want to see the media supporting their own when their own is in the wrong.
Mm. And, I mean, if you read what he did, it's horrible. And I don't want to go through it because I don't want to upset anybody listening. But what this girl had to go through from the age of 14 in terms of the grooming, as it's been described, and then on to the defilement itself, her teenage years, and you know, lost. And she will carry this with her, and he'll be out mid-2019.
Absolutely, and I think that's one of the things people don't realise is the impact of trauma of any of these kind of events. And, you know, that 14-year-old was obviously quite vulnerable to start with and was then exploited by somebody a lot older and in a position of authority over her. That can often be a lifetime. We would meet and have clients come to our service who can report back on incidents of sexual violence that occurred against them when they were children, and they're now adults in their 30s and 40s, and it's still having a profound impact on their life generally and on their own capacity to continue to have a relationship that's healthy and fulfilling. Mm. So this is a long-term process for that particular victim, and that isn't reflected in the sentence that's been handed out.
There are opinions out there generally as it relates to character references. You know, on different types of crime, it could be maybe someone who's gone off the rails a little bit, committed a few burglaries, but between them being arrested and going to court, they've got their life on track to some extent, maybe, you know. But in terms of when it comes to stuff like this, do you think, what's your feelings about character reference? Two people submitted character references. And the only reason you would ever submit a character reference, presumably, would be to try and reduce or limit the sentence. I presume that would be the only motivation. Why else would one do it? What's your views on people giving character references in these types of cases?
Yeah, I mean, that is the purpose of a character reference. I think, again, it goes back to the judge. They should never have been allowed to have been admitted, because in cases, particularly where it's quite specialised around violence and the impact is quite strong on the victim, really the only people who should be providing any kind of information to the judge in relation to what might have changed that behaviour are experts. There has to be expert witnesses. And that is your forensic psychologist, that is your legally mandated people that can come forward and talk on behalf of either the victim or the perpetrator. It's not people in the streets who just happen to know the person and have a vested interest in them getting a reduced sentence. That isn't appropriate in these kind of cases, and the judge shouldn't have allowed those statements in, as far as I'm concerned.
Mm. What's your message to anyone listening to this who may be affected, or indeed they may even be considering whether or not to make a formal complaint? And it's even a conversation maybe they're having with the families, and maybe parents are saying, well, look at what's happened to this girl. Do we want to put our child or our younger member of the family through all of what they'd have to go through for this outcome? These are all real. People might think I'm being, I'm exaggerating the situation, but these are all perfectly possible situations. What would your advice, your message be, Doctor, to these people?
My advice would be, I mean, we are aware of these situations. So, I mean, there are support groups out there in society that are trying to challenge these cases all the time, and there is a lot of support available. We do acknowledge that the impact on going forward with any of this is quite hard, and it can be quite traumatic for families. But there is also an acknowledgement that particularly people under 18 who are giving witnesses statements or who are coming forward through the court system, there is a greater recognition of their rights. There's a new victims charter coming into play at the end of this year. There's a new court being built in Letterkenny that is specifically designed now to facilitate victims through video link access and having their own victim suites within the courtyard system. So, you know, there's a lot of developments that are occurring, and Garda Síochána are very supportive in terms of working with victims. So not to be put out by, you know, sometimes the sentencing goes amiss, but we are open to challenging that. But the actual process and the supports that we can give to victims is in place. There's a lot of organisations out there willing to put in time and be able to support the person. So don't be afraid to come forward, and don't be afraid to ask, try and ask and access the support.
And you are the victim, no one else. What have you a telephone number, Dr. Marie, that you would suggest for anyone who's been affected by this conversation, or maybe feels they want to come forward about something?
Well, I can certainly give you our own 24-hour helpline, which is 1800-262677. And whoever's on that helpline will actually have a list of all the other helpline service numbers that, depending on the particular incident that you want to report.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much for taking the call.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you. Dr. Marie Hainsworth, there, manager of the Donegal Women's Domestic Violence Centre in Letterkenny.